Why do we need a mediator? We need one who comes between us and God. We read this evening of the Savior who was made sin for us. He knew no sin. He knew no iniquity. He knew no transgression. He was the spotless and pure Lamb of God. And therefore, he could represent his people. He could represent mankind. He could represent those for whom he would die. Those who were sinners who could never redeem themselves, but the perfect Lamb of God could die in their place. And our need for a mediator stems from our sin.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us, and we trust that the Lord would richly bless the preaching of his precious word. We're going to turn today to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You and I, mankind, could never save themselves because of their sin and their wickedness and their rebellion against the God of heaven. We needed a mediator. We needed someone to come between God and us. And we need to understand that basic truth, that there is one mediator, not merely a mediator, but one mediator. There is an exclusive mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only in Christ that men are reconciled to God. And why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom. He died on the cross for his people. Outside of Christ, there is no reconciliation. There is no peace with God. There is no propitiation, no atonement for our sins. As God, Christ was able to endure the wrath of God, fulfilling the law for his people. And in Christ, we come to God for salvation. Are you trusting in Christ today? We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the next part of that message entitled, Christ, Our Only Mediator.
There's another division, a division between the sheep and a division between the goats. Matthew 25, and before him shall be gathered all nations, verse 32, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Again, another separation. What did the Savior say? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the goats. No, the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He died and he shed his blood for his sheep. There's a separation. And the Word of God reminds us of this separation continually. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, those names whom Christ had saved and delivered, they were cast into the lake of fire, the end of the world, the judgment, cast into hell. I want you to turn to Revelation 14. These verses here continue that picture of the great harvest at the end of time when there will be that final separation. Revelation 14:14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. The grapes were cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. And what is a winepress? It's that place where those grapes are taken, where they are crushed, were, the juice comes out. And the emphasis being upon the crushing. Those who are lost, those who turn not to Christ, those who have been separated from God because of their sin, there's a crushing. In the great winepress of the wrath of God, there's that harvest, there's that separation. And it is a final separation. What was said by Abraham to the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell in Luke 16, and beside all this, between me, us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a great chasm, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There is a final separation. Something that cannot be reversed. Something that cannot be changed. Dear unbeliever, this evening, that is the state of every soul that knows not Christ as Savior. And as they go out into eternity, as they die, this is what awaits them. It is what the Word of God says that awaits them. Oh, man will say, there's no such thing as this. It doesn't exist. God won't do this. God won't cast men and women into hell. God won't cast those who attend the church into hell, regardless of not trusting in Him. He won't do it. He's a God of love. But we are reminded that while He is a God of love, He's a God of holiness and justice, and He will judge. And to say that God is love and God won't do this and God will not judge, is it not to blaspheme the name of God, to take His attributes, to take who He is, to take the promises and warnings of His judgment, to set them aside? That in your mind, God is not these things. And what have you done? You have changed in your mind, your perception and your understanding of God. You've said that God is now something that He says He's not. How dangerous that is. We must have a right understanding of God. And He is a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. He's a God of holiness who must punish the sinner. But yet we find that as we consider the wrath the sinner faces, Christ is an effective mediator because He comes between the sinner and He comes between the holy and righteous God. And we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved the world. He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Son was given as an effective mediator, coming between man and God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, John said, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atonement, the covering, the propitiation is the word in the King James. The propitiation for our sins. There's a need for a mediator to enter into heaven. And Christ, who died for sinners, Christ who rose again, God stamped His approval on the sacrifice of Christ, upon the work of Christ, upon His salvation for sinners by raising Him again from the dead. He is the great Redeemer of God's elect. He is the one that went to the cross to die for sinners. The hymn writer said, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb that was slain, cleansing for me, cleansing for me. The effective mediator. The effective mediator. In Scotland, in 1560, the great reformer John Knox was at large, working and serving the Church of Christ. And he was involved in the publication, the composition and publication of the Scots Confession of 1560. They had a section there on the death and passion and burial of Christ. When they spoke of Christ offering himself a voluntary sacrifice unto his Father for us, that he suffered contradiction of sinners, that he was wounded and plagued for our transgressions, that he, the clean, innocent Lamb of God, was condemned in the presence of an earthly judge, that we should be absolved before the judgment seat of our God, that he suffered not only the cruel death of the cross, which was accursed by the sentence of God, but also that he suffered for a season the wrath of his Father, which sinners deserved. And then it speaks of Christ making full atonement, and it says this: from this we confess and avow that there remains no other sacrifice for sins. Nothing else can save, they said. Only Christ, and trusting in what he has done. If any affirm so, if any say there's another way, there's another way by which you can be saved, there's another road to salvation, we do not hesitate to say that they are blasphemers against Christ's death and the everlasting atonement thereby purchased for us. That's how seriously they took it. Christ died and rose again. That is the only way of salvation. Nothing else. It's simple, really. A simple way of salvation. Man can't do it. Man can't attribute to it. It is through Christ and through Christ alone. And that brings us to our final thought. He is our exclusive mediator. Our exclusive mediator. We see the Scots pressing down hard upon that point. It's Christ alone. There's no other mediator revealed in Scripture. Man invents mediators. Man invents ways of salvation. But as the apostle said in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice what our text says, coming back to 1 Timothy. In verse 5, there is one God. One God who created this world. One God who formed the heavens. One God who formed the earth. One God who sent his Son to be our Savior. One God who sent his one Son to be our Savior, to be our one mediator. That is what we're taught here. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Exclusively Christ alone. The Savior said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the text here this evening is exceedingly clear. He's the exclusive Savior because his sacrifice, as we've seen, is an effective sacrifice. It is a sufficient sacrifice. It is a sacrifice that truly saves and truly delivers. He is the one upon whom his church is built. He is the rock upon whom his church is built. The only way. The confessions of Protestantism, as we've considered already, sprang up during and after the Reformation. They were clear in their stand concerning the exclusiveness of Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism asked the question, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Why is he called Jesus? Why is he the Savior? And the answer is, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. And what we like about the Heidelberg Catechism, I remember the former pastor here, I was in his study at home 7 years ago, and he spoke about the Heidelberg Catechism and its personal nature. And that is true, because he saveth us. It's applicable to us. But if you were asked that question tonight, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Can you apply it personally to you? Because he saveth me. He delivereth me from my sins. And likewise, because I ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Is it about you? Can you say that about you? Are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator? the only one who is the door to eternal life. Oh, that you would see him as the essential mediator, as the effective mediator, as the exclusive mediator. And dear believer, tonight as we close, what of these things to ourselves? Well, it reminds us that though we live in a pluralistic world where there are many claims to paths to God, we know from our experience there is one. We're not to affirm other ways of salvation. We're not to affirm that we can be saved and redeemed in another way. We're to affirm the biblical truth of Christ's exclusive place as our mediator. And therefore, when we share the gospel, we're to share that effective means. We're to share the exclusive mediator. We're not to water it down. We're not to change it. We're to share the gospel as it is, and we're to pray that God would give us courage to do that, because this world doesn't like to hear there's one way. There's one way. They want many ways. They want their way. They don't want God's way. And oh, we need courage. We need the strength of God to turn and say, well, the scriptures, there's one God. There's one mediator. May that truth burn within our hearts, that we would look to Christ afresh, that we would rejoice that through him and through his Spirit, we know the only way to heaven, and we're trusting in him. We're trusting in him. Knowing Christ is our mediator, it gives us confidence in our relationship with God. It assures us of forgiveness and eternal life. It assures us, because we're trusting in the one mediator, we know who he is. We have access to him. He's our great intercessor. He's the one who comes between God and us. And we have peace and we have assurance because we're trusting in God's way. We're trusting in the way revealed by the scriptures. Dear believer, do you have a peace? Do you have a joy? Do you have that assurance that all is well with your soul? Because there is one God and one mediator between God and you, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not resting upon your works. You're not resting upon those filthy rags. You're not resting upon something you can accomplish. You're resting on the one who did accomplish and did finish. How glorious that is. That the gospel we preach, it's a Christ-centered gospel. He is able. And he does save the sinner. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Isaiah 41, verse 14. I will help thee, saith the Lord. This morning, let us hear the Lord Jesus speak to each one of us. I will help thee. It is but a small thing for me, thy God, to help thee. Consider what I have done already. What? Not help thee? Why? I bought thee with my blood. What? Not help thee? I have died for thee. And if I have done the greater, will I not do the less? Help thee. It is the least thing I will ever do for thee. I have done more, and will do more. Before the world began, I chose thee. I made the covenant for thee. I laid aside my glory and became a man for thee. I gave up my life for thee. And if I did all this, I will surely help thee now. In helping thee, I am giving thee what I bought for thee already. If thou hadst need of 1,000 times as much help, I would give it thee. Thou requirest little compared with what I am ready to give. 'Tis much for thee to need, but it is nothing for me to bestow. Help thee? Fear not. If there were an ant at the door of thy granary asking for help, it would not ruin thee to give him a handful of thy wheat, and thou art nothing but a tiny insect at the door of my all-sufficiency. I will help thee. O my soul, Is not this enough? Dost thou need more strength than the omnipotence of the united Trinity? Dost thou want more wisdom than exists in the Father? More love than displays itself in the Son? Or more power than is manifest in the influences of the Spirit? Bring hither thine empty pitcher. Surely this well will fill it. Haste, gather up thy wants. Bring them here. Thine emptiness, thy woes, thy needs. Behold, this river of God is full for thy supply. What canst thou desire beside? Go forth, my soul. In this thy might, the eternal God is thine helper. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that God's word has been a blessing to you and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.